So great to have Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter with us in the house here at our remote location. Sheriff, good to see you.
Good to see you, Aaron. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you anyway, but man, especially after this big story about the gun show in Great Falls, another great reason to catch up with you and talk about that one.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting experience. We had several patrons at the show bring it to our attention, along with some county employees, and it was just really frustrating. You know, we're going to meet later on this week with the ATF and have a conversation about, you know, making sure that we are being good partners in law enforcement. We're communicating with each other. You know, there's three major concerns that I have of this issue. Number one is public safety. You know, House Bill 102 passed last session. So a government building, which the fairgrounds is, used to be a prohibited place for people to carry concealed firearms with a permit. That's not the case anymore. So now you literally probably have hundreds of people inside a fairgrounds building carrying firearms lawfully.
Especially at a gun show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that culture. So you've got all these people. Then, you know, the federal government decides to do an operation and they don't want to tell their local sheriff about it. And then the issue becomes, what type of public safety issue do we have if we end up with a use of force situation during the gun show?
With hundreds of people with guns, yeah.
Well, we could have had citizens pointing guns at law enforcement pointing guns at citizens that weren't involved, and then we wouldn't have known about it. So we could have had law enforcement officers pointing guns at each other. And that's my second point, is what about officer safety? What about the safety of our officers? We don't ever do undercover operations without letting all the people who may be involved. And unbeknownst to them, we had multiple on and off duty deputies in that building that weren't uniformed.
Sure.
So what kind of horrible conflict could we have had?
I was doing the map directions here. Great Falls to Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, about 185 miles roughly. But of course the Canadian border is even closer than that. And so I was just thinking about this because, yeah, when I saw this story, and I think Randy Bogdan might have been the one to first break this, and then some of the other outlets picked it up. But when I first saw this story that basically there was a gun show going on in Great Falls, and you had the ATF there doing an operation, but what was really shocking was they had a foreign government law enforcement agency taking part in this operation from Canada. And I know we have a lot of friends in Canada, but let's be honest, the Canadians have been horrible when it comes to civil liberties here post-COVID-19, especially under, you know, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So when we find out that they never even bothered to contact the sheriff to say they're doing this operation and they have Canadian authorities doing this as well, I think it's so great that you said, hey, you guys better get out of here. You never even contacted us ahead of time because of the way the Canadian authorities have trampled on the civil liberties of everyday Canadians. I think it's even more important to tell them to get out of Montana.
Aaron, I completely agree. You know, that was one of the things. The stuff that Justin Trudeau has done, I mean, basically what had happened is his country protested against him. And then he used the Uvalde tragedy to his advantage to take away all handguns from his citizens. And we all know what really happened up there. He was worried about his citizens overthrowing his government, you know, because they're acting like a third world country, not much different than our country is right now, too.
Yeah, unfortunately,
that's the way they're acting up there. And so he banned handguns and he said to take him away. I mean, they were so restrictive in their gun laws anyway. You couldn't use one of them to save your life or protect yourself anyway. But then he outright bans them. And then this event occurs. And so I talked before the break about my two first concerns. And then my last concern was constitutional. And I don't mean last concern as an order, but in priorities. And the reason I say that is this, is yes, and this Lethbridge police officer is working alone. So there's no ATF agent in direct supervision of this individual. He's working completely alone. And had something gone awry, and even what if we even had one of our citizens do something that what they weren't supposed to do, but all of a sudden now we have this Canadian law enforcement officer involved in it, nobody knows about it? That would have been an international incident.
Yeah.
That would have been, I mean, there's been countries that have fought wars for less. And that's not responsible. That's not appropriate. So
Because the story that, if I heard the story right, I saw it must have been an ABC Fox story, that basically how you first got alerted to, that something was going on here was there was a guy driving around, which this is just poor tactics all around here. There was a guy driving around with an SUV, a dark SUV with tinted windows and Canadian plates. He had Alberta license plates, and he's driving around taking pictures of license plates. I mean, that just, it's like, okay, first off, dude, I don't want to help you with your TTPs on spying on Americans, but didn't really have the best tactics there either. I mean, don't be Mr. Obvious driving around with Alberta plates. It's bad enough if you're driving around with American plates, you know?
Absolutely. And the fact that he was alone, you know, I mean, he's acting in an enforcement role by himself. I mean, why can't the ATF, if they're worried about the Canadians, just take pictures of Canadian plates and send them up to the Canadian government and say, these are all the Canadians in your parking lot? I mean, that would have been a simple way to do the same thing, but not involve a foreign government in an operation, you know. And so we're going to talk about it with the ATF, you know. And the frustrating part is I've had a good working relationship with our local ATF. Talking to those individual agents, they all say, well, you know, we're super pro Second Amendment. You know, we're just, that's why we believe in what we do, is because we want to arrest bad guys with guns. And I get all that. But this operation just is not how you handle it. And it's unfortunate because with what's going on in the world right now, this doesn't give people a lot of faith that the government, you know, we always say, well, is the government doing nefarious things or are they not? Well, this type of incident kind of makes people scratch their head.
Sheriff Slaughter, great to have you on the show with us again here today. I started thinking about Dairy Queen, and I forgot what we were talking about before the break. That happens all the time here.
I think one of the questions you asked me was a good question, is why does this stuff have to be done in secret?
Yeah, with, you know, the feds.
I think there's two reasons. I think their reason, there's the reason that we think, and then there's the reason that it probably really is. I think there's a feeling out there that the state of Montana, and maybe particular me as a sheriff, will not be very friendly to gun control. And that's true. The state of Montana is not. House Bill 102, House Bill 258, both that I testified for and agreed with. And House Bill 258 says I will not enforce any local gun control. Now, that doesn't mean that if the ATF, in their legal purview of their organization, I couldn't be involved in it, but they should still let me know. They should still let me know that event's happening so I can tell my people, so we don't have a blue-on-blue situation.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I can't interfere with their investigation, but we should have a conversation.
Well, like you said, we want people who are breaking the laws that are on the books to be held accountable for those laws. In fact, that's our biggest complaint, is that too much our government wants to go after the law-abiding citizens and take away our rights and take away our guns, but yet they've got people actually breaking the laws that they constantly put back out onto the streets. Case in point to this whole secrecy thing. So there was a news story a couple of weekends ago, probably the same weekend that the gun show incident happened in Great Falls. There was a shooting in downtown Kalispell involving a 17-year-old. And it may have been just a domestic disturbance, something like that, according to the Daily Interlake at the time. But I had a tipster and local law enforcement in the Flathead say, hey, that's an illegal immigrant who was involved in this shooting. Okay, now I get it. You know, law enforcement can't give me the details of the investigation while the investigation is undergoing. But there's basic information that we, the people, we, the public, should be. I mean, I've worked in TV news. And now, you know, radio commentary, but we still do some news as well. But, you know, I can go find booking photos. I can go get basic information on who was arrested. I can get some of the basic 5 W's, right? But I ask this question. I reach out to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the CBP regional media contact, no response. I ask the police chief, and the police chief says, yeah, I can't discuss any of the details of this investigation. I mean, If you had a similar situation where there was a shooting in Great Falls and I called you and said, hey, Sheriff, I got a tip that's an illegal immigrant who's involved there, is that a question that you could answer or that you think should be answered?
It absolutely should be answered. You know, I'll tell you the answer I usually give is this, is get a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request through our county attorney. And the law is very specific. You're going to get the information. It's not a matter, they may have to redact some certain information to protect witnesses or victims of crime. If there's a juvenile involved that was not a suspect, a murder suspect who's a juvenile, is not protected, but a victim or a juvenile who commits a misdemeanor crime can be protected. But
if it's just a domestic disturbance, we may not need the name or the photograph, but you should be able to tell me, it's an illegal alien. No, it's not.
They're here illegally. And we talked about people doing the right way and wrong way. Just recently, I had Immigration and Customs come to my office, and they walked in. They said, hey, Sheriff, we're looking for this individual. And not only was it a good courtesy for them to do that, but I had all the information they needed. I had everything. I already knew about it. I already knew who was working the case. And I was able to hand it to them and then hook them up with that investigator. And then all their legwork was done. You know, and there, as sheriffs, we have all the information. We're the local law enforcement. We have it all. Not only could we speed up your investigation, you may not have to do live surveillance because we already have the information. I've had it before where federal government has come to me and I've been like, oh, yeah, that's a horrible crime. And by the way, if you read this report and they take the report and they read it and they go, well, I'm just going to go get a search warrant. I've got everything. Or arrest warrant. I've got everything I need right here. And they go do it.
Yeah.
And that's what cooperation looks like. And in this not cooperating thing is very dangerous. I want to iterate this. I believe what you believe. I don't believe this is a local agent boots on the ground thing. I think they're getting their orders from D.C. and it's don't cooperate with local government, don't cooperate with local law enforcement.
Don't cooperate with local media either.
Do not do
interviews. If you do, do not mention the southern border. Do not mention the Mexican drug cartels. But that's the reason why we've got all the fentanyl. I don't care. Do not mention this. I will guarantee you that's what these agents are being told on the ground in every single one of these federal agencies. And it's tragic.
But I don't even think they need to be told that. Let's look at some recent actions that they have taken and some disciplinary actions they've taken against some whistleblowers. Although there is a law in the federal government that says you will be a whistleblower. You will. If you see something, say something, right? But then they do, and then now they're taking action against them. And I think they're going to win their lawsuits and be very successful in the future. But that's a tough process to have to go through.
Yeah.
And what that tells I've been a boots on the ground guy. For 18 years, I was the boots on the ground guy. And I will tell you, the actions and behavior of your administration will dictate your behavior very, very quickly. And if they even send a subtle message that you will be, stopped, you will be gag ordered, you'll be disciplined, you start looking at your wife and kids and family and your house payment, your car payment, and you're going, I need this. I can't mess this up.
And how many other good agents are simply just retiring or getting out and moving on to other things? Just like so many law enforcement officers across the country here are saying, you know what, I'm going to go find another career. Now, I think in Montana, we've had a lot that are saying, I'm going to go move to Montana and work in law enforcement. I hear there's a need in that area. Because they've recognized that now we've got sheriffs like you, we've got a governor like Gianforte that are going to support our Second Amendment rights and support our law enforcement. I neglected to mention this earlier, but thankfully some of our listeners are already sending us messages here. So when I take the show on the road, sometimes it's hard to take phone calls because we'll get feedback in the headset, so it's a little hard to chat on the phone lines, but if you send us a message on our Montana Talks app, if you got a question or a comment here for Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, send me a quick message on the Montana Talks app, and I am able to read those app messages here from our remote location broadcasting live from the Heritage Inn in Great Falls this morning. Tim in Billings asked this question, and I saw this story at FoxNews.com a couple of days ago. What does Sheriff Slaughter think of the Chinese setting up offices to monitor Chinese nationals in Canada and the U.S. seems to be a lack of sovereignty for our countries to me. Yeah, there was this Fox News story that said that basically the communist Chinese government is spying on Chinese citizens, and they've set up what they're calling police stations in the U.S. and in Canada to monitor their Chinese citizens in our country.
Well, it completely shows the hypocrisy of the United States government. United States government has opened the borders and said, send us your tired, you're hungry, all their, stuff, their BS that they say, right? But then they allow the communist government, and we need to get back to, the Cold War, Reagan, the way Reagan talked about the Chinese, about the Communist Party. This is an evil, evil, disgusting party. They represent everything that's wrong, and I mean, they're the devil's party. And for our government to say, send us, you're tired, you're hungry, you're famished, we are a nation that accepts people, is what they say. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth, because now they're setting up ability for the Chinese Communist Party to monitor them and do that. They shouldn't be doing that. First of all, they should never be doing that in our country. End of story. Second of all, we should never be cooperating with a communist government. They do not have our best interest at heart. They do not have what America stands for and what our Constitution stands for in any way. And it's a slippery slope, and it's a door we shouldn't open. And, you know, you come to this country to seek refuge, which I do believe in. I do believe in very much. I believe in the immigrant status of coming in legally.
Yeah.
But now your new country, your new government throws you under the bus to your old government.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some genocide waiting to happen.
You know, it's funny, traveling. You probably get a little of this too because, you know, you're a sheriff, and so you're wearing the uniform, and so, and a lot of people probably recognize you now. So people will come up to you and say, "Hey, sheriff, you know, I appreciate what you're doing here or there." It's funny. I used to love the anonymity of being on the radio, but now with these apps and websites, more and more people recognize you. So you're like, but it's great though because you meet some great folks. But I won't say which grocery store I was at, but I was at a grocery store, and one of the ladies who works there, she comes up with me, and you can tell she's got a, you know, an accent. She speaks Spanish, and she's like, she says, my husband and I, we listen to your show every morning. She says, you keep talking about the illegals. She came here legally from a South American country. She came through the right way, and now she's, and I think about it. Well, you know, if there was a concert today at the Expo Center in Great Falls, and I was standing in line to get into that show, and a bunch of people started cutting in the line, I'd be ticked off about that. Now, if I'm not going to the concert today, not really my issue, right? So the people that have stood in line to get in this country legally are more outraged than a lot of the people elsewhere in the rest of the country, which shows why the Hispanic poll numbers are really shifting towards the Republican Party right now.
Absolutely. And let's not forget this fact, Aaron. I think you forgot a major important fact of what you said with that analogy that you just gave, which was great, by the way. You paid $150 for your ticket. They're not even paying for their ticket.
Yeah, good point.
So they're not paying for their ticket, and they're cutting the line of the people who are paying.
And then they get free concessions.
Yeah.
And a free hotel room.
Exactly.
And who knows what else.
Exactly. They get free backstage passes, and they get to bump you even if you've bought VIP. And that's what I think that the issue really, really comes down to. I know people. I know immigrants who had to go through the process. It's exhausting. I know one person. It was 18 years.
Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, again, grateful for your time this morning. What's going on in Great Falls? You know, aside from political stuff and, you know, all this other stuff in the news.
A lot. Great Falls is growing really fast. So I grew up in Los Angeles, or the town formerly known as Bozeman. We don't call it that anymore because I don't know. I think it's in a different state now.
Even our friends in Bozeman listening right now be like, oh, yeah, we're with you, brother.
Yeah. I born and raised there. Great childhood there. I don't think I'd ever go back now.
Your dad was the sheriff.
Yeah,
though,
wasn't
he was.
He? Yeah,
I got to meet your dad at the Montana Shooting Sports Association.
That's correct. We sat together.
That's right.
He was the Gallatin County Sheriff from 90 to 2001, and then he was appointed to Judy March's cabinet as the DOC director. So
great
legacy to have. You know, the thing about Great Falls is it is Bozeman in the 90s.
Hmm.
And I remember people, come on, we need this place to get bigger. We need more stuff to happen. And there was this thing, and that's what Great Falls is going through right now. But it's starting to happen. So, you know, we're going out for a public safety mill levy in the November election. And one of the reasons is we're having a hard time. We're 9 deputies down. We don't pay enough. Neither do our prosecutors. That was a school safety thing. That was part of that mill levy package that we've already talked about. And we're trying to meet the need of what anticipate. I call it anticipatory leadership. We need to anticipate the need. And we're already behind, so we really have to get aggressive and make sure that we have public safety that will meet the need of our growing economy, because it is growing here fast. And we haven't even started yet. We have the Calumet biodiesel program going on right now. That's huge.
We talked about that last year. The folks from Calumet came over and joined us to talk about it,
And here at Mecca, you know, you're here now. We need to talk about the fact that we are in an energy crisis in the state of Montana, and that energy equals freedom. And any time you're getting energy from somebody else, you're a slave. So we need to make sure we get energy independence in Montana. The XL pipeline, I think, was going to hopefully help us with that, but obviously that's kiboshed. So we need to find other aggressive ways in real energy, not wind and green and all this.
Yeah, reliable energy. That's
reliable
one of the
energy.
Things we're going to be talking about. Yeah, coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, we actually got a gentleman from the College of Engineering at the University of Georgia who is going to be here. But, you know, talking about, you know, why have we become so reliant on unreliable power? I mean, it'd be like if you had to carry around a gun and you're not sure if it's going to fire when you need it to fire. I mean, you know, that's where we are with our coming to with our electric grid, unfortunately.
Well, it's political correctness. That's how we got here.
Yep.
We got here because we decided that this virtue signaling over climate change was more important than actually having real energy. And do I think that we all agree that cleaner energy is a great way to go? I think we do. I think there isn't a person out there that doesn't want to see, like, you know, you go to Southern California in the smog, right?
Yeah.
People see that and they go, oh, this is what the whole world's going to look like. Okay, we can work on cleaner energy, but it's not a flip the switch thing that this presidential administration in D.C. is trying to do right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be catastrophic. I mean, I don't know where people live, but if you suffer through 40 below winters, energy is everything. It completely becomes everything. You know,
Randy Pinocchi is the public service commissioner from here in the Great Falls area. And yeah, he suggested, well, if we're going to have brownouts in Montana, they should start in Missoula first, because that's the folks who are calling for this unreliable power and time again.
It is. It is completely unreliable. And it's one of those things that's really, really spooky. It absolutely is. It's terrifying.
Back to Great Falls. Yeah. When we were driving in yesterday, and of course, it's beautiful weather. Sometimes it's a blizzard when we're here in October for the electric cooperatives meeting. But beautiful weather here the last couple of days. But 10th Avenue South, driving 10th Avenue South, I was amazed. Just in the last, I've been here less than a year ago for this very meeting and even since then. But I was amazed at the number of new buildings that have popped up. Really, really nice looking new buildings as well.
It's been really cool. So you used to see rundown buildings in Great Falls, and you just see them there forever. You stopped noticing they were there. They were there for so long. Now, if you get an aging building on a major area like Central Avenue, 10th Avenue South in Great Falls, next thing you know, it's completely bulldozed to the ground, and there's a new building going up. So we've been discovered. I told everyone it was only a matter of time. We've been discovered. And the cool part is, so far we're seeing, you know, a lot of conservative people coming to Great Falls.
People that share our values.
Well, yeah, they're fleeing behind enemy lines, behind those places like Oregon and Washington that have failed miserably.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing that I love about Great Falls, I love that, you know, if you stay downtown and then go for a run on the Riverwalk area and then run up to that gigantic American flag and the Veterans Memorial here, great, you know, military town with Malmstrom Air Force Base here. But the river, because you've got the dam, the river is a more recreational friendly river here as well. So it's just that beautiful. I mean, it was like glass yesterday looking over the Missouri River on it. So, I was kind of joking. I was like, oh, man, you know, if Billings really wanted to do something with the river, you'd almost have to do something like that to really make it more recreational friendly to your downtown. But speaking of Billings, so Billings passed a new public safety mill levy, and then unfortunately it seems like everybody and their mother is figuring out a way to split the pot so that their organization can get some of the money. And it's like, wow, shouldn't all of that go to law enforcement? But the challenge with law enforcement is, okay, we've got great men and women in the police department that are going out making arrests. I talked with one police officer. They'll arrest the same person three times in the same night, but the jail's too full. They have nowhere to send them to. Is that a challenge here in Cascade County as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, the same couple hundred bad actors fill your jail, you know, repeatedly. Part of it is we've gotten away from some things, of some harsher penalties for people. There's, again, political correctness about how, well, you know, everybody needs treatment now. Part of being incarcerated is punishment.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten the punishment aspect of it. The other thing about it is, you know, we need to start looking at other things. You know, back in the day before they had jails, you know what they did to people? They sent them away. They sent them away to a different community, and then that community sent them away, and then another community sent them away, and eventually they conform because they get tired. We're social creatures. We're herd animals, and eventually we conform. And so we're going to have to start looking at other creative ways, you know, but you got to also go against people who say, you know, that's not acceptable, that's mean, you know, and we got to fight that narrative too. But
yeah, I feel like we're in a, when we talk about law enforcement and punishment for people who threaten society, it's like a Seinfeld episode. you know, where, but I support treatment. It's like, well, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's like they apologize for putting bad guys behind bars. It's like, stop apologizing for it. Yeah, I get it. Everybody supports treatment to a certain extent. But stop. In other words, we all get it. Treatment programs are important for those that actually want treatment. But stop apologizing for simply putting bad guys behind bars. And I know it's not you, but so many even of more conservative prosecutorial types can get into this habit. And it's like, we get it. Everybody supports treatment, but that is not working. We need to just put bad guys behind bars.
Well, I think that's you hit the nail on the head. So we have the Angel Initiative that Governor Gianforte brought to, to our, we were the organization that started it. That means you volunteer. I'm coming to you because I need treatment. So my mind has decided I'm ready for it. As a human being, I want it. I'm hungry for it. Court ordered treatment is this: you will get treatment or else. Okay, well, I'll fake it through your treatment program. You know, every once in a while, parts of it stick, but it's that's not how treatment works. The person has to want it.
They have to want it, and sometimes they don't realize the mess that they're in and that they've hit ground bottom until they face serious consequences for it. And then they finally wake up and be like, man, I got to turn my life around. But we don't ever force that anymore. And because every you know, person that I've talked to who has successfully overcome a meth addiction or something, they said, yeah, you got to want this treatment. If you
Absolutely.
Don't want it, it's not going to work. So just the court ordering somebody to turn their life around isn't going to work.
No, I don't think the success rate is nearly as high as people who go for it.